A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Something like a phenomenon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's MC Speller. LL Cool Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Pete Diddy Donaldson.
P. Diddy on the case.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble. It's lovely to have you with us as always. We're going to be talking about international football again.
It's cheapies. Back. Luke's not here, so we're doing international football without fear of reprisal.
He thought I'm off. Not another international.
Screw this.
Exactly, yeah. But we're here. And what's interesting, Jim, is in the Asia qualifying for the World Cup, Thailand face Australia this week, and the Thai FA have offered £400,000 bonus to the team if they can beat the Aussies.
The squad or the team? I mean, that's not that...
The team.
Right, okay.
Or the squad, yeah, it's not each player. I don't know the Thai FA. I doubt they've got that amount of money.
You'd be annoyed if you were left out and didn't get a cut of that.
I think it's a fairly socialist operation, that. You know, giving money to Thai footballers. I don't know, I've no idea. Maybe the goal, if there was a goal scorer, maybe he'd get a bit more. I don't know, but that's all we know at this stage.
This is very much for them to sort.
They're not going to win the game. No money will change hands.
What if you just dialed in a performance, just knowing that if you... Oh, you couldn't, could you? Because you'd have to try your best, wouldn't you? So maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah, maybe it is a good thing.
Maybe England players should stop donating their money to charity. Yeah. Maybe they'd play a bit better.
Maybe they should stop donating their money to charity. Fortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have time to answer that there.
I guess this week we'll pick that out for the Twitter.
Maybe. Well, if Thailand win, plenty of people give me pelters. Yeah. Because I just said they won't win. Thailand might win. There's the defensive shield. Well, if you were the head of a football association and fancied giving your team a bonus or an incentive ahead of a match, what would you do, Jim?
Quite simply, next training session is trampoline training.
Yay!
If you win, we all know, if we're honest with ourselves, trampolining is the best thing.
Yes.
It's the best thing you can do. It's the most
you
fun.
You know it, I know it. The dog from John Lewis Advert knows
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Oh. Should we go and do it?
Should we just sack off the show and just do some trampoline? Yeah.
Listeners, you can put an old one on or something.
It's 7:20 at night. Jim, I mean, I hate to pull back the curtains once again on the Football Ramble. Where would you get a trampoline at this time?
There'll be no trampolining today, Jim. Answer the question.
If there's anyone I know who can get a trampoline at this time of night in Soho, it's you.
So, I reckon so, yeah.
He's got you there.
I got some dealers. Yeah, trampoline
incredibly,
dealers.
Incredibly, Marcus, I have already answered the question. That is my answer. It would just be trampoline training. So you have a ball, obviously, right. But it keeps you fit, doesn't it, trampoline? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, bouncing and stuff involved. So there would be light ball work, but basically you'd have a laugh. Laugh on the trampoline.
Do you know what, Jim? I combined once, and it was a glorious 5 minutes or however long it was, combined trampolining and football together.
Oh, God. Did you do a double flip bicycle kick?
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly what it was about. It was on Clapham Common in South London. There was a big football bonanza festival thing. It was, I don't know, 9-10 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And one of the little stations was, they had this machine, which was like a crossing machine, where it would catapult balls into you.
Oh my God.
There was a goal on a bouncy castle, and you just swayed there, and the ball would come in, and you do massive.
Oh.
Yeah, it was absolutely magnificent. My mate scored the best goal I've ever seen that day.
Was that the greatest moment of your life?
It's up there.
Was it like, oh, what's that film? Is it,
Alien.
No. Oh, something soccer. Shaolin soccer.
Yes.
Like that film where they fly like 10 feet up in the air and do a kick.
It was exactly like that.
And the keeper's Bruce Lee.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It was magnificent.
I really want to go trampolining now. Yeah, that's all okay. I can think about.
All right, Jim. Untangle yourself and Pete, you answer the question.
I'm torn between Hippie Crack Tuesdays and...
No. Do you remember the question?
Yeah, exactly. That's the reward. No, a man comes in and he sandpapers off your face, right?
Right.
As a reward. So then...
As
a reward. So then you'd have to take any bloody selfies.
What?
So you've got a generic smooth face, uh-huh. So that you don't have to take selfies with fans anymore, because, you know, people don't want to do that all the time. I mean, imagine your life nowadays. Your life as a footballer back in the 80s and stuff, no camera phones, you just get a signature if someone happened to have a pen or just a kind word.
Why not?
Nowadays, you've got to take a selfie every five steps if you're a footballer.
Why not a balaclava?
Yeah.
It's not as violent as a belt sander. A man comes in with a portable belt sander and sands off man's face, thereby negating any image rights problems when it comes to the next contract.
So all of the team have this, presumably?
Yes. No, one player, the best player, because then everyone wants to strive to be the best player, don't they? So.
Yeah, well, no, I don't feel that in this scenario they maybe would.
Well, we'll see, won't we? We'll see.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I don't know how that'll benefit them, but I suppose people won't want to take selfies. Just one person goes on selfie duty then, because everyone looks the same.
If you don't have a face, Marcus.
Yeah. You've made Patrice Evra.
You can't have a selfie with someone. Who's that? Oh, that used to be David Beckham. But now he has got no face.
You have made Patrice Evra look like a moderate.
To clarify, do you aspire to not having a face? Is that what you're...
Yeah, the man with no face. Speaking of crossing machines, I recommend the video game on the PSVR called Headmasters, where basically that happens.
Oh, right.
The ball crosses in and you've got to header it into the goal. Oh, very good.
When are you bringing back Games Master?
When am I bringing back the gamey ramble?
Right, indeed.
Copyrighted, you're not having it, piss off.
True. mine would be, I went for a more negative incentive.
Right.
More negative than getting your face sanded off.
True. I was looking at Jim, just remembering Jim's answers, because I've already put Pete's behind me. I would say, right, if you lose the game, you have to, after the game, Martin O'Neill comes in and he reads the entirety of Crime and Punishment, because you know he loves a bit of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you imagine Martin O'Neill reading it out. And it would be very, very, very long.
It's a very good book.
It's a great book, but it's, Martin O'Neill...
I don't think he likes the punishment. He likes the crime.
Okay, well, any crime... Okay, let's...
He doesn't care whether the punishment fits the crime. He just likes the crime.
True. Okay, so a very, very long book. Perhaps that was maybe...
Read half of it. Read the crime bit.
And Roy Keane would be watching. Yeah. So if you started nodding off thinking this would be a good time to get 40 winks, no. Keane's not having that.
He's got his stick.
So make sure you win. Or I would bring in Steve Bruce and went, he'll cry if you lose. Nobody wants to see Brucey cry. And you can't hug him. You cannot hug him.
I think Brucey might end up being, when he's about 60, I think he'll end up being a national treasure.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, I think...
Older than that?
No, I don't think...
No, he's not old. That would be madness. Saw him play football.
Yeah. True.
We did.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point.
He saw him resemble a football.
Yeah, exactly. He's just so...
Yeah,
he's not
just
far
so
off.
Fluffy.
He's not far off 60. I think
he's like a big cloud, isn't he?
He is indeed, yeah.
A cloud of skin.
He's in his 50s, but he's not 60. But then by that time, are you thinking England manager, maybe...
Well, he might have...
A semi-final.
Just give it a semi.
Sir Steve Bruce.
Sven must be heading to that, surely, because, I mean, he...
You said it, not me.
He got England further than anyone in the...
What do you mean anyone?
In recent times, let's say.
True. Well, Hodgson got the quarterfinal, but it was at a time when there wasn't a second round in the Euros. But let's not talk...
Let's not dwell.
...too much here about that. I did like this about... Going back to Thailand, Australia. One of Thailand's previous managers said, Thailand often have a crisis of confidence against the Socceroos. And he said, every time we play against Australia, Japan, Korea, they lose their confidence. This is what I call inferiority complex.
You call it an inferiority complex. No. That's not your phrase, mate.
Yeah, that is inferiority complex.
I call it inferiority complex, but very much in my language.
Yeah. Well, England beat Scotland 3-0. That's what I call a 3-0 win.
It's what Garth Crooks calls. To crimp Doc Brown's intro to the Sean at Hackney on Saturday.
Indeed, yeah. Oh, Gareth Southgate. What are you... I mean, he tried his best to throw it. Mm. I mean, he wasn't trying to throw the game.
Are we not doing points, Marcus?
Yeah.
I think Pete's got the points, actually.
I think I deserve them this week. I often don't, I'll admit. I readily admit, but the image of a man sanding another man's face off with an aforementioned skin cloud like Steve Bruce, that's what would happen.
Yeah, there you are.
That's how Steve Bruce got made. Uh-huh. A man who's having his face... It's sanded off.
How can I
can
not?
We just call him the Skin Cloud?
The Skin Cloud. Steve Bruce Skin Cloud.
People are thinking, well, how has Pete SBSK. Got the points? How can I not give the points to that, is what I would say to you doubters out there.
That is a way of looking at it.
Indeed. Another win, though, for Gareth Southgate. Everyone is touting him for the job, apart from Gareth Southgate himself.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you think England have tried everything, tried absolutely every option, but, a man who doesn't want the job. Next time, it'll be like a goldfish.
It's great.
Not qualified for the job.
Yeah,
it's Southgate's.
Oh, America have done that.
It's Southgate's kind of Groundhog Day, isn't it? I didn't want this to happen. I didn't want this to happen. I didn't wake up every morning. I don't want to go into work, love.
He's going to go in there and go, look, we didn't beat Slovenia. They nearly beat us.
What more do I have to do? Do I have to do?
You haven't conceded a goal through luck.
I mean, what would
he see, John Stone? He tried his heart out for me.
What I would say is that England have got a very boring kind of depth, haven't they? They've got cover in most positions, and they're quite attacking, but they're still quite boring.
With Stones on the pitch, they're not.
Well, they're unpredictable. He's like a magic eight ball of things that's going to happen.
Do you know what? I have so much admiration for John Stones, because I think he's a 21-year-old lad at Wembley. And after his fourth or fifth mistake, where Scotland are pressing him, you know, England were fortunate perhaps not to concede, he's still trying to play it out from the back. And slightly joking aside, for a very, very brief moment, I thought to myself, good on you, mate, even though you're making me have a heart attack every now and then. And I think to myself, all right, there is a time to just put your foot through it. I thought, there is a guy who's absolutely committed and is perhaps the only Englishman right now who is trying to get us away from being a long ball side.
Absolutely, and it's fair enough. I mean, you're going to make mistakes when you're a young player, and it's almost like he has accepted that, but he's got a way he wants to play. He's determined to do it, as you say. And, you know, he's just... Well, I guess we suffer the heart attacks, as you say, but, you know, it is admirable, as kind of mad as it is. We were saying this on Saturday, weren't we? It's like he has a free role, but at centre-back, which is, you know, heart in mouth quite often.
It's true. I mean, tell you what, Alan Shearer suggested that England should play a back three against Spain. Mm. And actually, if you think about that, with the three itself, it's not a ridiculous suggestion. No. I know sometimes England, tactically, the players can be a little bit, I don't know, poor, for want of a better word. Mm. But with a back three, Cahill plays in a back three for Chelsea and adapted very well there. The libero sweeper role, I mean, Stones is perfect for that.
Yeah, and what you could have is Stones could pass it to Cahill and then Cahill could hoof it out.
Everyone's happy. Jags gets his short pass. Yeah. And Jags get their long ball.
Jags falls over. Give it a Jags if he's fallen over again.
But
in a weird way, Gary Cahill would work harder, I think.
I think there
would just one in there.
Right. But also with the wing backs, I mean, Walker and Rose, or the other players that would play fullback, they pretty much play like wing backs anyway.
Yeah.
The way they get forward. You've got your midfield three, and then someone can keep Wayne Rooney company up front.
Keep him warm.
Yeah, so I actually think that's not a ridiculous suggestion. England could do with a plan B.
And feel
well,
free
I could do with a plan A.
And feel feel free, if you look at the way, I'm sure we'll come on and talk about Austria-Ireland, but watch how Austria came out of the blocks. Like, they went for it. They absolutely went for it. Ireland were blown out their behinds about 10 minutes in. They were knackered because they were just constantly on the back foot.
Yeah,
there's nothing to stop England doing that. Yeah. Play three at the back and just go for it.
Yeah.
First 5 minutes and get everyone nice and exhausted.
Exactly.
And then we've got them. We've got them. For the next 85 minutes, we've got them.
Very strange game, wasn't it? Because 3-0 did flatter England. Very much so.
It was weird, wasn't it? Because the way the game sort of petered out, England actually probably should have had a fourth.
Yeah.
Which would have been very harsh on Scotland.
Well, but Sterling's chance.
Yeah, Sterling's chance. And the way they broke forward, and the Scotland players just looked knackered and they knew the game was gone. But previously, when it was 1-0 England, at 2-0 it was probably killed off for me. Some people might think that's harsh. Certainly at 3-0 it was, and the third came not too long after the second. But it is weird, isn't it? At various points of the game, it could have been 1-1. I can't remember if Scotland had a chance at 0-0. They might well have done, so forgive me there. But certainly it could have been maybe 1-0 Scotland, or certainly 1-1. And then the way the game finishes, it probably should have been 4-0 England.
Mm.
Have we
heard from Strachan? Because last time they lost, he didn't sleep for 48 hours. I imagine he's gone for a full week this time.
He went out on a bender.
Yeah, and then he'll go out and play golf.
Oh, yeah, he said that, didn't he, in a recent thing? They said, are you worried about getting the sack before the England game? He went, am I worried? Am I bollocks? I'm 59 years old, I'll go and play golf.
Incredible.
Yeah.
neither manager in that fixture really cared. It's ridiculous.
I thought it was incredible the way that Strachan set up his team. You know, Ketchy Anu at right back was a very bold move, but I thought it was actually quite good, because one thing England do have in a few areas of the pitch is a bit of pace.
Yeah.
And so to try and match that pace, I thought wasn't bad. You know, he can do a job.
Well, they did score 3 goals all from wide areas.
I mean, one was a corner, yeah.
Very English goals. Very English goals.
We will beat you, but only with headers. Bah!
You like a header, Jim.
I love a header. Headers are cool. Yeah. Been saying it for a long time, and England proved it again. Though I think the problem with England, though, at the moment is
then you love the PSVR game Headmasters. I swear I'm not in. I bought that. I didn't get given
a
copy.
Free one?
Right. No, right. Well, if only.
Well, I'll have one.
Okay.
If anyone's listening.
You were going to say,
joking. What I was going to say was the problem with England at the moment is they can win every game in qualifying 5-0, and I don't think it's going to change people's opinion of them. To sort of restore some confidence in the England team, they have to just perform at a tournament, don't they?
Could you not just give Southgate it until the tournament, and then, look, we'll get someone in for the tournament? Because he clearly, I know he'd probably deserve it, but he doesn't relish the role, but he will happily be that safe pair of hands to get us there.
Is that a good way of working, though?
No.
No.
But with the greatest respect to England, they're terrible at tournaments.
Yeah,
so.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? Maybe, I don't know, maybe Gareth Southgate will win it just because he hates this situation so much. Just imagine him lifting the trophy, just, oh my God, just ashen face.
This is heavy, very heavy.
I've won a tournament, can I go? No, you've won as a tournament!
Oh, Jesus!
Oh my goodness.
Just want to see my wife.
You've managed it. They England won 2 penalty shootouts under you, Gareth. I don't believe it. This is an absolute nightmare. Oh, everyone's shouting, 4 more years, 4 more years, holding him head high, and he's going to put me down.
Make England great again, Gareth.
He has got that face when Trump was doing all his press conferences after he won the presidency, president-elect, obviously, and he looked like Guy Gormer on BBC television, just kind of, just a bit lost. Yeah. And Southgate has that air about him, just sort of going, I don't want to be here, at least Trump campaigned for it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think Southgate's thinking to himself, as England under 21 boss or wherever he was before, it's a reasonably safe job, a lot safer than the England job. You know, you can get on with your business.
He's had it for a while.
Yeah, there you go. So you got Southgate in there. The young players turn up. They're hungry. You know, you don't have to deal with the spiralling egos. Perhaps I don't know what the England players are like, so I don't want to label that. But we know what footballers can be like. And it's more of a secure job. You'll know where you'll be in the next sort of couple of years. You can plan, right?
Yeah, I'll be in Hong Kong in December or something like that.
You know when you can take a holiday.
Yeah.
You know. But with the England job, you must be like, oh, blimey. Not for me.
I think the underwhelming performance for Scotland must be just looking over and seeing Gareth Southgate wearing not only his own poppy, but one of those armband poppies as well, over his suit. It's worse than when they gave the Cookie Monster one on BBC television.
Yeah, they did, didn't
That's
they?
Strange.
But whatever you think, England did win. And I thought that Scotland played well, obviously. I thought what Strachan did, you know, Scotland pressed England and I think Strachan, because I was there at Celtic Park when England beat Scotland 3-1, and England just pressed Scotland, like Scotland did to England at Wembley. They got in their faces. Quite simple tactics, really. And as Strachan said, they kind of sort of spooked the Scottish players a bit on their first touch, all that kind of business, and just blew them away. And I thought Strachan thought, right, I'm not going to be bullied by this lot, and try to do that to England, because England, you know, in a little bit of a transitional period under Southgate, you know, someone like John Stones, who likes to play a bit differently at the back, they were there for Scotland to have a go at them, and they nearly did, and Scotland wasted some chances, my goodness, didn't they just. Having said all that, I would say, and I may depart company with certain people here, but I always felt that England could turn it up a notch if needs be.
But would they? That's the problem. Well, that was the problem against Iceland. That was the problem against...
Against Iceland, I think I mentioned it, you know, at the time, as soon as Iceland went 2-1 up, I waited a few minutes and I thought England will lose this game. They don't look like it. Whereas I think against Scotland, it was almost like they were thinking, oh, blimey, this is a bit bumpy. Oh, we'll ride this out, and it was okay. Who knows? Like, the chaos theory comes into it. If Scotland score, you don't know. But at the end of the day, England won 3-0 and it's another clean sheet. And on paper, it looks pretty good for England, doesn't it?
It does. But again, like going back to what I said earlier, like you don't trust them in qualifying. You know, they won every game in the last set of qualifiers. You know, they couldn't have done better, really.
No, that's right.
And still, we had the absolute debacle against Iceland, because they get a nosebleed when they get out of their comfort zone.
Indeed. But it was good to see Adam Lallana scoring.
Yeah, it was a great header. Sturridge's header was very good. Sturridge scored very tough.
Lallana is now one of England's best players.
Well, the Luke Lallana climb down is because he was hitting on him six months ago, and I think everyone else was as well.
Luke isn't here, but I do have something to read out from Luke. And he says, "Dear Southampton fans, I'm terribly sorry about Adam Lallana proving me wrong. I sincerely apologise, and I currently admit that you are the best South Coast side at the moment."
Yeah, PS down the skirts.
There we are. We're going to talk more about the European World Cup qualifying after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, everybody. It's Wales 1, Serbia 1 time. Mitro. Pete Donaldson. You must love it. Mitrovic is one of your favourite players at the moment. He's a Newcastle United player. You must love the fact that he stopped Wales from winning.
My mum's football team. Yes. Kind of.
Did you celebrate when he scored, did you?
I wasn't watching it live, but he's on form, and he's a very important player for that football team, isn't he, really? Mm-hmm. Less so for Newcastle.
No, he's a very, very good player for Newcastle, because he is... He's almost like a sitcom character, isn't he? He's guaranteed to provide laughs at some point because he's a complete nutcase, which is ideal for your team.
But he's still very young, and I think he's. And I've said it before. Said it last season. I think he's got everything, apart from the shooting part.
Stop short of saying that he's the new Alan Shearer.
No, you already said that.
He has. Yeah, I probably did say that. To be fair.
Well, it was a great header. It was Shearer-esque, that header.
Cool, mate.
They're very cool, and Mitrovic knows that, and he scored a great one against Wales.
There was a great clip of him doing playing basketball.
Oh, was there?
I think it's quite big that way, isn't it?
Huge in a lot of European countries. Yeah,
Croatia as well. Croatia,
yeah, in the Balkan states. Yeah.
He nailed like 2-3 pointers from distance.
Well, he only got 1 point that night, but it was a crucial one. Serbia now second in the group. Wales a third with 6 points.
They have to win in Ireland, don't they?
It's a big one. I mean, they've drawn 3 games. Have the Welsh? They were lucky that Georgia dropped points at home to Moldova. I feel a bit sorry for Georgia. They've got 2 points from 4 games. They're better than that. They're very unlucky. They perhaps should have beaten Wales, and they probably shouldn't have lost. I think they lost to the Irish in Dublin. But Wales played a back four instead of a back three, which people were a little bit critical of. Serbia had a back three. I'm telling you, Shearer's right. England, back three.
Mm. I'd like to see it.
Glenn Hoddle drew comparisons with Leicester and Wales last season and this season. Yeah. I thought it was a fair point. You know, last season, Leicester and Wales surprise teams, a bit of an unknown quantity.
Mm.
Yeah. Whereas this season, teams are wary of them and sit off them and give them a bit of respect. Because Wales, they did very well on the way to the Euros and at times at the Euros, although not always, because they did take the game to some teams, play on the break quite fantastically.
Absolutely.
Well. And this time round, if Serbia go to Wales... Yes, Wales should have probably won the game. I mean, Bale hitting the post and then go and concede the equaliser. But if teams are turning up to Cardiff and think, hang on a minute, these are decent.
You could see how much respect that Serbia had for Wales by the way they celebrated. Obviously, it's great getting that point, but they've seen that as a big fixture in the group and are delighted to get something from it. Wales only had 2 shots on target, but I still feel like they should have put that game to bed. They was there for the taking.
I think Bale was lucky to get his, because that ball could have gone anywhere, I think. That could have gone, like, bounced off the throw and gone over the bar. I don't know. It came off the keeper, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all good reading for the Irish, because they're top of the group with 10 points, and they had a wonderful win in Austria.
Yeah,
I mean, again, Austria, you just wonder what they're doing, because people talked about this as a resurgent force, Austria. You know, I backed them as a dark horse in the Euros, which was a ridiculous thing to do, because they didn't even get out of the group. Didn't even win a game.
So don't worry about me. I did South Korea, so it's fine. in the Euros,
yeah. But they're fourth in the group with 4 points. And they are struggling. They're 6 points off the Irish already.
Well, they put the Irish under so much pressure first out. Like, well, first
they should have
20 minutes.
Well, should have lost it.
Arnautovic hit the bar, I think, at one point.
He did.
And then they did a slow motion replay of him going, oh no. But instead of saying, oh no, he started just blowing air out of his mouth and just loads of spit, like a big long string of spit. So it's like a slow motion Sky Sports advert for
spit.
You know, spit. Come and look at this.
Come and look at this gob.
Yeah, it's not nice, is it? But a good goal from McLean.
Yeah,
he's a handy player for them.
Well, he's so direct, McLean, isn't it? You know what you're going to get from it. He's going to get the ball and he's going to take it towards goal in a very strong way.
Yes, it's in a very strong way. Yeah. He's one of those players, McLean, that pops up with goals for Ireland, makes good contributions and so on. Do you think to yourself, if he was English, right, he would get nowhere near the side. And it's one of those annoying ones where you think England don't really have the equivalent of someone like that. I mean, maybe an Adam Lallana or something. But those players that are, Ireland have less quality than England.
Yeah.
But yet a player like McLean turns up and plays what gets a vital contribution. A 1-0 win in Austria is a good result.
I think Janko had a chance late on for Austria, didn't he, to get them back in it. But he's, I don't know, every time I see him, I just think he's not quite good enough.
What a Janker, eh?
Marcus Speller.
He is.
Cheap.
Dear.
But effective.
Football Ramble book.
Yeah.
Available in all good stores.
Indeed, yeah. But Ireland, the top of the group, looking very good indeed. With 10 points from 4 games. Same as England. Northern Ireland beat Azerbaijan 4-0.
I love them.
This is just normal now.
Yeah.
Azerbaijan aren't terrible. You know, they're not in the same pot as, say, a San Marino or even an Andorra. I mean, they're clearly not a brilliant side, but Northern Ireland moved up to the same points. as Azerbaijan. They were 3 points behind this team.
Kyle Lafferty, again, still not getting a game for his club. It's just been the same story for a long time, isn't it? Why, whatever you're seeing in training, his manager, play him.
Well, true.
Give it a go.
Jim, would you say the Green and White Army, they put out the Land of Fire?
I would say they exactly did that. Yes,
exactly
they
did
exactly
that.
Did that. But I may have had a drink or two yesterday, and my words have gone all weird.
But I think it's important to sort of say that early goals are important in international football. For the sake of my interest, if for nothing else.
Go on, then.
The early goals are so important.
Well, okay, so a team like Azerbaijan, clearly their game plan is to play very defensively when they go away to a side who, I mean, and a superior side.
Well, again, they're getting that respect, aren't they, that Wales have.
Right, and so the early goal means, we're going to have to come out and try and get something or whatever, and then maybe that opens up a bit more. But there were some fantastic goals for McLaughlin's header in particular. It was good to see Brunt score. He was back in the side for the first time in 13 months.
What a hit.
Yeah, tiny little deflection.
Yeah, I think it probably would have gone in, though.
Yeah. But you say they move up to 7 points with Azerbaijan, 5 behind Germany. And Michael O'Neill's influence on Northern Ireland, it just continues to be felt. He has done an unbelievably good job with Northern Ireland. And often people who are having a go at Gordon Strachan, and a lot of areas of the Scottish media are saying, you know, why can't we have a bit of this?
Indeed. Well, that's it. I guess that's, you know...
You haven't got time.
Is it a bit reductive, though? To just say, well, why don't you get the best out of... Why don't you make your players play above themselves? Surely every manager in world football is aiming to do that to
a
degree.
But, I mean, you know, in England and Wales at the Euros, you know, it was another good example. Wales get the semi-final, England have got better players, they beat them in the group and so on and so forth. But that, you know, whatever it is, the ethos that or the work ethic that Michael O'Neill has brought to Northern Ireland is incredible. And, I mean, they haven't qualified for a World Cup since 1986, of course, quite famously. But they've qualified for a major tournament last summer. And Michael O'Neill, he's done a fantastic job.
Well,
there.
If you look at Northern Ireland, Ireland and Wales, they have what England, I guess as well, Scotland lack, which is an identity. You know, they know who they are. They know the type of game they're going to play. They go out there and they're all, there's a togetherness. And it is really lacking from England. It's just a fudge, isn't it? The whole thing's a big fudge.
Yeah, well, that's why it would be a signal for Scotland, because with England, you can say, well, England... Because of the nature of the Premier League and some of their big stars and so on and so forth, it's a different kind of dynamic. Mm. Doesn't mean to say you can't have a togetherness and you can't have, you know, better results and better performances on the pitch, but Scotland are a far more similar nation in terms of size and in terms of what you just said to the three aforementioned nations. They must feel a little bit left out, as they would have done in the summer when they didn't get there. But Northern Ireland... they did.
Well, just a factual dig.
Not a dig. I'm sympathising.
Factual dig.
All right, fine.
Factual dig.
Well, how about this? 39-year-old Roy the Boy Carroll has been an emergency call-up for Northern Ireland.
Yeah,
against Croatia.
I don't think even he saw that one coming.
No, indeed.
Like Gnabry, is this a wind-up?
Oh yeah. Well, Germany beat San Marino 8-0 in the group. And Serge Gnabry scored 3 again, mugging off Arsene Wenger.
Is he mugging him off?
True. Well, he thought the call-up was a wind-up, and then scored 3 goals, and you sort of think that's righty. He's done a righty.
Yeah, right.
He'll never play again.
I mean, it is San Marino, isn't it? But it's good to see him doing well, because like the flashes we saw at Arsenal, and you know, before he got his injury, and before he went off to West Brom, he looked like he could be a really, really good player. And it's a shame that he didn't want to stay. But you got to understand it from his point of view.
You've got to understand it, Jim. Thomas Muller said of playing San Marino, "I don't understand the point of such uneven games like these." Karl-Heinz Rummenigge joined him, saying, "San Marino has nothing to do with professional football."
Thomas Muller's such a dick, and I love it.
I mean, there's an argument. They are the whipping boys every single time. Why not give that spot to...
That's one side of the story. Every story has two sides, ladies and gentlemen. The San Marino Director of Communications, beg your pardon, I'm a little bit bunged up today, as you can hear, but do bear with me.
Well, when we were doing the book signings on Saturday, you were kissing every person full on the lips, so everyone's going to have that cold.
And I was fine until I started trapping off with Jim.
sorry, mate, I'm diseased.
Indeed you are. the head of communications, Alan Gasparoni, wrote a letter in response with a 10-point argument to why it's good that teams like San Marino are involved. And he starts off the letter with, "Dearest Thomas Muller." And I won't go through every point. You can do it in your own time, because some of them are quite long. But I've picked out 4 of my favourites. Point 1 is, the match served to show that even against the poor teams such as ours, you can't score a goal. It's a lovely dig. It's a lovely dig.
Great.
Point a factual dig.
Yeah. Point 4, it served to confirm that you Germans will never change, and that history has taught you that bullying is not always guaranteed.
Oh. on Remembrance Weekend as well. You dirtbag.
Oh, that was a pop, if you know what I mean. Point nine, it made some...
I've
moved up to point nine here. It made some Marinese people. I think that's how you...
San Marinese people.
Marinese?
San Marinese. It made some people from San Marino a little
Super
happy.
Super Marianos.
It made the good people of San Marino a little happy to remember that we have a real national team. That's nice.
Yeah.
Come on,
that's true. Isn't the full title of San Marino the Most Serene Republic of San Marino?
I hope so.
I think that might be the case.
Well, Jim, point 10.
They should be called that.
Yeah, indeed. Point 10. And this is where the gloves are off, I feel. The match served to make
piss off. PS is fuck off, yeah?
Point 10, the match served to make me realise that even if you wear the most beautiful Adidas kits underneath, you're always the ones that put white socks under their sandals.
Oh,
German tourist.
Stereotype dig.
Yeah. With love, you're Alan. That's how it ends.
You're Alan.
You're Alan. You're Alan.
Yeah.
It's We've great. All got our own Alans. How does he know that?
Lovely digs. Lovely.
Beautiful digs.
Oh.
They're not good at football, but goodness me,
yeah.
They can dig. What's their mining? Man. What's their mining output like?
I tell you what, it would be sensational on the basis of that. My goodness, what else have we got here? France beat Sweden 2-1. Payet saved the day.
He did.
Pogba and Payet. My goodness.
Yeah, well, Varane actually headed a ball onto Pogba's head.
Yeah, it was a lovely assist.
Great.
Well, you must have loved that, Jim, because you like headers, and that was a sort of a double header, if you will.
It was brilliant.
Yeah,
France headers and lollies.
Headers and lollies. Portugal beat Latvia 4-1. Ronaldo scored a double. That moves him up to 68 international goals.
That's phenomenal, isn't it?
The same as the great Gerd Müller.
Wow.
And the great Robbie Keane.
The greater.
He has to be called the great Robbie Keane. He's in there.
It is.
It's astounding.
Only Miroslav Klose and the Hungarian Sandor Kocsis and Ferenc Puskás are ahead in the top scorers list in Europe.
Amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They
amazing.
Did that statue thing. What do they call it?
The mannequin challenge.
Mannequin challenge. Such an old man. I sound like Monty Python on late night
they did
television.
The standing still challenge.
Did you see that video of Monty Python doing that old man anti millennial toss bag of a song about don't take selfies?
Oh, no, I don't think I.
Ugh. I hate John Cleese, such a knobber.
Are you really?
Do you want to sandpaper his face off?
I want to sandpaper John Cleese's face off.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Busy week on Twitter for you now, I'd imagine.
Have you finished or can I move on?
Yeah, go on.
Think about that.
Yeah,
There was another team who scored 8 goals. It was Belgium 8, Estonia 1. Yeah, Martinez.
Yeah.
Go on. Embarrass him.
Get in there.
8-1, you little Estonian slugs. I feel a bit sorry for them, to be honest. But there we are. That's what happens.
Well, look, if it keeps him in the job, it gives us more fuel for the fire of Martinez.
Yeah, indeed it does. Did you see the Greece equaliser against Bosnia-Herzegovina in the last minute? Oh, what a hit.
Can you explain it to me and the listeners?
It was a decent hit.
A decent hit?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, you bit on that ball.
But the real... Careful, Peter.
Look at your band on that ball.
You're wearing your best trousers and I worry for them. The real takeaway from that game was Edin Dzeko sent off for pulling another player's shorts down.
Oh, I heard
yes.
about this.
Come yeah. on.
Gazza on Hoddle.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Hoddle? Was he on a thing and he pulled his pants down?
Paul Ince.
His lovely bum?
I thought it was Paul Ince.
No.
Strange to get those two confused. I appreciate that. I'm not sure it was Hoddle because I thought it was World Cup 90.
I found out.
I would like to distance myself from your difficult week on Twitter right now. Or difficult week.
Difficult week. I did a radio show with Inright this weekend and he mentioned that Paul Ince is a big fan of the WWE.
Oh.
Is that right?
Little trivia, little bit of trivia for you there.
Who's his. I was about to say who's his favourite, but I haven't watched it for years.
I didn't get that information.
And all them.
I don't know.
And he's a naughty man.
Who, Hulk Hogan?
Oh, yeah.
Is he?
Not very much so. Let's move on swiftly.
Somebody's very prog gawker.
Yeah, have a Google.
The return of Marcus's Wicked Whispers.
Yeah. What's he done?
I can't remember, to be honest.
I remember
watching
it.
Therefore, if I say, I think he did this,
just in the bin marked naughty men in your mind.
Well, let me tell you, Jim, your head is looking in that bin right now.
Are you thinking of Hollywood Hogan when he turned heel?
No, I don't mean naughty as in he's turned into a bad... Yeah.
It's not real, right?
Do you remember when The Undertaker became a biker? He was in a biker gang.
Called like the American Outlaw or
awful.
Some nonsense.
Really? Awful business.
I bet you could do a good impression of Paul Bearer, his manager.
No, I think you... Who could... Paul Bearer!
My Undertaker.
There you go. I never used to watch wrestling. I learned all this in my early 30s. It's terrible. I remember Hulk Hogan's sex tape, which is very funny.
There you go.
Because
that is a real insight into you.
He was making love to Bubba the Love Sponges, who was a radio personality in America's wife, I think, or girlfriend.
There you go.
In some kind of alleged entrapment kind of sex tape situation.
So that's why he's in the Naughty Man bin.
No, you didn't know that.
I knew it was something like that.
But what, having a sex tape is having a not being a naughty man?
No, he's up there.
It's up there.
Some of the other ingredients. Wife involved. Some of the other ingredients in that.
All right. Well, he comes in the room. Sorry, he walks in the room. That's a terrible way to say it. He walks in the room.
Gave it a leg drop.
And he's... And he's eating too much food, and he spends a lot of time just rubbing his fat belly, going, "Oh, I ate too much spaghetti. Oh, I ate too much spaghetti."
Oh God, cut that bit out.
Very funny.
Yeah.
So yeah,
did he get the 24-inch python out?
Jake the Snake, wasn't it?
No, he had his arms.
Oh, was that his arms? So yeah, I'd say I'm unfamiliar.
Hey, what are you going to do when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
I think upload it to the internet, apparently.
I think we should go for a break.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. This is the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. And this is the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Well, don't forget the Football Ramble preview show this Friday, sponsored by Bet365. Of course, it's going to be great. I promise you that.
There's going to be predictions. Premier League is back, so yeah.
There'll be no Hulk Hogan chat on that one, I promise you. Although, having said that, I've now given Pete 3 days to research whatever he may
about
the big man in the yellow vest.
There will almost certainly be a lot.
In the naughty bin. In Marcus Mellor's brain naughty bin.
Oh, dearie me. Let's go to South America, because they're qualifying for the World Cup as well. It's the World Cup, Jim. It's not the Europe Cup.
Nope.
I keep telling you this.
I already know it.
There was another 3-0 win in a big derby match. Mm. It was Brazil 3, Argentina 0. This was played at the stadium Brazil lost 7-1 to Germany.
It's a restorative win, that.
Redemption.
Yeah, they were streets ahead of Argentina
as well. Coutinho's goal.
Delicious. Neymar's finish as well, which is his 50th goal for Brazil.
That's class.
Even 24 years old.
That is different gravy granules, isn't it?
So Ronaldo got, I think, 62. Pele got 77. And if Neymar continues at this rate, like he could feasibly become Brazil's all-time top scorer. Well, which is a huge feat.
He's well on for it. Are you sure he's got 50?
Yeah.
My goodness.
It's absolutely mad.
Especially because, like, they didn't do that well in the last World Cup, so it's And did you say they had...
Didn't do that well, semi-final.
Yeah.
Well, for Brazil, at home.
To be fair, it ended badly.
It almost means they sort of... It's like they went out in the last 16. Yeah, you know, it sort of knocks them out earlier.
True enough.
How would they rather that story ended, Marcus Speller?
Agreed.
Bearing in mind that Ronaldinho's also got a sex tape, so he's in the naughty bin.
What, just one?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's probably got a series out.
He's got a library of them. Yeah, it's like writing a brilliant film. It's all right, and the ending is absolutely dreadful.
And then I woke up.
Yeah, right.
It was all a dream.
Yeah. That's how the Brit accent pirate ended.
Did it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So bad.
It seemed like that series went on for years and years and years, but I think we were talking about this last week, because we both have a great love for the British Empire.
I don't.
And you said there was only one series or something? Like,
I don't remember having this conversation. This must be one of your other gyms. But can't believe you're seeing other gyms again.
I know.
He had the conversation while he was in the gym.
Regular gyms.
Oh, that might be.
Guys, this is like the British Empire, because they had a gym, didn't they?
Yeah. Well,
hello, millennials.
We've been talking about Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
It's a very broad, very long-running sitcom, and in the last episode, he wakes up, everything's a dream, and then he goes down to the job centre for an interview, and all of the characters from his dream work there. Makes no sense.
I'll tell you what, and you might be thinking, I'm not going to watch that now. He's done you a favour.
Well, yeah, that's...
I didn't think it was that great.
It was excellent, Marcus.
Was it? Jim
said it was not excellent.
Mm. What? It's not 2-1-1 just because Jim's a stand-up. I'm not having this.
Jim knows more than you about the British Empire.
King of comedy.
Anyway, let's go back. 3-0, even Paulinho scored.
Did you see when Messi took a free kick, they were scared of him whacking it under the wall, so they had a player lie down.
Shut up.
They did, it's brilliant.
I wonder what was going on.
Just aim for his hand.
Yeah, I know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, that's risky, isn't it?
Just don't jump.
Yeah, but then you're risking it go over, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, you've got all bases covered.
He's mesmerised them.
Yeah, well, yeah. And one player was
fair
on,
play, hit the wall, so...
One player was on the other one's shoulders.
You could do that on a trampoline, though, couldn't you? Good.
You could do what you want on a trampoline.
But I love how Paulinho is like this absolute like mainstay for Brazil. He's out in China and, you know, he's had a relatively underwhelming time at Spurs. I know he had some moments where he was very good.
He will be earning an enormous amount of money in China. Mm. And Brazilian players have said in interviews before, you know, they love Brazil.
Yeah.
It's a very unique culture out there. They absolutely love it. And the reasons why they go to Europe is to further themselves in a football sense, of course. Money is a big reason. And if you are somebody like a Neymar, you belong at a Barcelona and you belong to try and win the Ballon d'Or or something like that. You're probably not going to win that if you're staying at... I forget the team he was playing for now. Whereas Paulinho has clearly gone to Europe and thought, yeah, if I can earn an enormous amount of money somewhere else and still play for the Brazil national team, I'm loving life.
Yeah.
And he must be. He absolutely must be. But Argentina, they're not well placed to qualify at the moment. They're sixth. And they play third place Colombia this week.
There's a real chance they don't want to be there.
Oh, they'll be there. They're only a point or two off, you know, the playoffs. But, because
based on how they're playing, though.
True, but I would be surprised if Argentina can't finish even fifth, and fifth place goes into a playoff against, I forget now, it might be New Zealand.
Yeah,
or
it's quite
like
often
that.
New Zealand, isn't it? Which seems very harsh on them.
Messi doesn't want to walk past another trophy, that's why. So not again.
Right, yeah.
Can we just not qualify for this one?
Right, well, Falcao might be playing for Colombia against Argentina. He's doing a little bit better with Monaco this season. He's back in the Colombia squad. And if he can score against Argentina, he'll become the country's all-time top scorer, taking his talent to 26.
Mm.
Which isn't...
God, that's a long pause, isn't it? His last goal for Colombia must have been ages ago.
I can't quite remember, really, to be honest with you. But it's good that he's back in there, and he's not having a brilliant time in Monaco this season. He's certainly better, but before those injuries, he was absolutely
phenomenal.
Superb.
It's such a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think Argentina do have to have cause for concern, and then maybe a few of their players are getting a little bit soft. Because according to reports, Sergio Romero and Marcos Rojo pissed off Jose Mourinho after they arranged for a hairstylist to come to the team's hotel before they got hammered by Chelsea.
What?
Yes.
I was thinking about this. You know, like when your mum used to get a lady to come around and cut your and your sister's hair?
We go around to hers.
Right, okay. It's weird. Why didn't they do that with dentists? Why can't you just go around a dentist's house?
Because of all the equipment.
Yeah.
You could just have a little shed full of equipment.
True. I can think of literally thousands of reasons why people don't do that.
Why don't we have barber surgeons anymore, Jim?
Why do you have to go to a restaurant? Like, why can't you just... Like, get someone to cook with all your utensils.
Yeah, or just eat in the sewer.
What do you mean, yeah?
Eat in the sewer with Ninja Turtles. That's how my brain works.
Indeed it is.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this because my mum was shouting at me about not going to the dentist, so...
Is Pete in your naughty man bin?
He's getting there, isn't he?
He's the mayor of the naughty man bin.
I'm in the sewer of the naughty man bin.
Oh, yeah, exactly, eating. The CONCACAF World Cup qualifier, that's carrying on as well, just like the rest of the world. The USA were beaten 2-1 at home by Mexico. I mean, it brings a smirk to your face, that one, in light of recent events. We've got nothing against the US. We love you, brothers and sisters, of course. But to see 37-year-old Rafael Marquez get the winner, who's a Ramble favourite. He's been a wonderful player over the years. He played for Barcelona once upon a time. It was great for Mexico.
He's always been that figure for Mexico.
Oh,
he's a real leader of them. He pops up when he's needed. I think he was,
He headbutted Kobe Jones back in the day.
Oh, did he?
Ooh.
Detective Kobe Jones. He's gone straight to the big house for that kind of behaviour.
That's naughty behaviour.
That is naughty.
Well, that's untoward behaviour. Marquez is not going in the naughty bin.
What?
With Hulk Hogan and, you know, Gigi Becali and the rest. Did you see Becali and Jack Warner loving the fact that Donald Trump got in?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Did you see Becali said that... he tried to build a tower with Donald Trump, didn't he?
Yeah.
But they disagreed over what to call it. He wanted it to be the Bacali Trump Tower. Trump wanted the Trump Bacali Tower, and just neither man would budge.
It's like Lennon McCartney.
I was about to say that, and they could argue who was the best Beatle. That was the argument over.
I think the US lost because part of the wall is a fence.
Yeah.
Because he's run an edge on the agreement.
That's what he said.
Could be a fence.
Get used to that.
We've only got fences, dickhead.
Yeah, right. Deary me. But how did his buddies Putin's team get on, Jim? I hear you cry, because they were involved in an international friendly.
The World Cup Derby.
It was the World Cup Derby. It was Qatar 2, Russia 1.
It's like 4,000 people turned up.
Ah, oh, it's a big crowd. According to a notable, now extradited Englishman broadcasting out of Qatar, they love their football out there.
They love their football out there. 4,000 people.
No human rights issues.
Well, Jim, we have to go on what we know. Which would suggest massively there are human rights issues. But FIFA Secretary General Fatima Samora, she was at the match, sitting on an enormous throne.
I was trying to explain this at the live show, but I was failing. It's a throne, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone else is sitting on plastic chairs, and she and a colleague are sat on chaises longues.
Unbelievable.
It was quite something. But she was again asked in a press conference about Qatar's human rights record.
Speaking of Qatar, your voice.
Well, actually, speaking of Qatar, she said, I don't waste my time answering these. Everywhere you go, there are human rights issues. Qatar and Russia are no exceptions. Qatar's very much an exception.
Very much so,
I would like to suggest.
Very few countries confiscate passports and kill people.
Dearie me. I mean,
it's genuinely depressing if you stop to think about it for too long, isn't it?
Yeah. Shall we move on?
I don't. Let's start. Keep swimming like a shark.
Indeed, yeah. Before we go to the highlights of the week, just a couple of ones in the club football section. Let's go back there. Where there is certainly no foul play. Tim Sherwood is the new director of football at Swindon Town.
Well, apparently he's the director of football, isn't he?
Yeah. He's acting like the manager, though.
No, but the chairman has said, like... we're careful not to use the term manager, but Tim will be conducting training, picking the team, dictating transfers and choosing the style of play. So it's like, I mean, he's the manager, isn't he? Yeah, well, he's absolutely the manager. He just has no culpability.
Hey, he got a 3-0 win, so up yours.
Against Charlton. Tim Sherwood, eh? My goodness. Ian Holloway, the new QPR boss.
Yep.
Hollers is back.
He'll probably get a nice fit for us, isn't it?
I love that.
Well, it gets him off our bloody screens talking nonsense, doesn't it?
No, he very much will be back on our screens.
No, but like he talks nonsense like he's been doing a lot of punditry, hasn't he?
This shouldn't stop him, Peter.
Nothing will stop him.
Yeah, nothing.
There's one thing we've learned about him.
Indeed. Right, shall we go to the highlights of the week with Jim Campbell this week?
Woo! Yes, so Chris Dowsett says, the ref at Posh v Bolton telling the mascot, a giant rabbit, to change his kit as he was confusing him with the players.
They must have been huge.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that player that's three times the size of everybody else on the field.
Yeah, but was he wearing the kit, the mascot?
I assume so.
Yeah, well, referees can be a bit, because on subs, if they're training, if they're running up and down the touchline with the tracksuit, or they don't like it.
Very weird.
Sunday league, I got to turn my top off and disgust everyone.
You just do that.
Maybe they have lots of rabbity players, I don't know.
Rabbity players.
Yeah. There's Dave Underwood, and he says, my highlight was my mate Kai Stone giving away a penalty, breaking his jaw in the process, but getting up to save the pen. That's brilliant.
Beautiful.
Well done, Kai Stone.
Blimey. And like celebrating, going, yeah! It never stops.
It was worth it. That's Bert Troutman stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very much so. Nick Wilson says, the kid at the Bury game trying to yell abuse at the referee / linesman, then immediately shouting, no offence.
I like that.
So yeah, we've got Matthew Fallon as well. Got to be Dzeko pulling down his opponent's shorts and then getting sent off, which I think we can all get on board with. So,
did he get sent off because he pulled the shorts down?
It was a second yellow. There was a bit of a tangle, but I think the shorts...
compounded the matter.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. We want our players fully clothed, thank you.
Did you see a bum?
No, you didn't.
I'm not looking up then.
Yeah, I didn't think you would.
A bizarre decision.
Boring.
My highlight of the last 7 days was our Hackney Empire show.
It was wonderful, wasn't it? Thank you so much to all of you that came out. It was a brilliant, brilliant moment.
It was stupendous.
I've never seen so many people.
I think ever. There was about 1,000, maybe a couple of seats shy of 1,000 in the Hackney Empire, and it was wonderful. Thank you all those who came to Hackney and all the other places that we played on our Football Ramble tour, which is now at an end. And if you missed out, then unlux.
There'll be more.
Yeah.
They won't let us stop.
Oh, indeed.
But we did London, we did Cardiff, we did Bristol, we did Leeds, we did Glasgow. Am I missing any out?
Brighton.
Worcester.
Winchester.
Nice.
Well, Winchester was actually not a part of the book tour.
Oh,
but
we
loved it all the same.
Yeah. We loved it the same as all the others.
Indeed.
You're all our favourite children.
That's right. The book is still on sale, very much so. It would be ridiculous if it wasn't. audible.co.uk/footballramble for a free audiobook. Remember, go there, download it, and then off you go into the night. cancel your account. You don't have to pay for anything. It's no strings attached. This.
You don't go in the Naughty Man bin.
Yeah, you can come out of the Naughty Man bin. Even if it's if Hulk Hogan, if you want to do that.
Yeah, if Hulk Hogan's listening, let's face it. If you all want to take advantage of the Audible offer, it's audible.co.uk/footballramble.
There we are. Any more for any more. We're all done. Right then, that's us. We'll see you for the preview show at the end of this week. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Bye from me.
Hulkamania.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.